What's 9 plus 10? 21.
Is Taylor Swift's new song the perfect duck hunting song?
If you say that on the podcast, I'm going to leave.
You'll be out?
I'll be out.
I think it's the perfect song.
Also, you'll be out of 2 Minute Wills for all eternity.
You rock that song with me when we go duck hunting.
Yeah, but...
Think about if we rewrote it. Knew he was a killer, first time that I saw him.
That's the first lyric in the song. Knew he was a killer the first time that I saw him.
Wondered how many ducks he had hunted left haunted.
Because the ducks are haunted because he killed their spouses.
Wouldn't the ducks be haunting the person? In theory, if you did kill them.
Pretty good theory.
He just broke it down like a friend.
She starts singing about in the middle of the night and in her dreams. Like, what do you dream about? I dream about duck hunting or snook fishing or tarpon fishing, but mostly duck hunting.
Well,
sorry, baby.
It's time for the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. Serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
What's new, Nate?
So we're in the... I don't know what to do with my hands right now.
Are they new?
Because we're in because we're in the middle of the lull of the gap between phase one and phase two of duck hunting, duck season.
This is terrific radio because the best part of that was Nate's hands. Like, he's looking at him in front of his face. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what to do with these right now.
I don't.
That was from the Ricky Bobby movie with the...
Talladega Nights.
Talladega Nights. Yes. Good job.
The Ricky Bobby movie.
She's seen three movies in her life.
That's one of them. So what's new with you, Travis?
Just got my boat back. From Wicked Vanguard. It's a guy's name's Monty Clark down at Lake Placid.
Nice.
He's tuned up the gator tail and she is purring.
Screaming, huh?
Screaming. So I've been scouting for ducks. I've been, you know, living the dream, doing the things I do.
Sure.
Emily, do you have a what's new?
I have a what's new this week in episode 13? Where we talked about what we wanted for Christmas. The draft, I drafted the Sig Sauer P938, which is not what I got, but I got the Sig Sauer P238 and is everything I ever wanted in a gun. It's tiny. It's smooth. I can shoot things with it.
This is also really good radio.
So I'm just letting you know, I got it on a Black Friday special. We went and...
Went to our local hometown store, Leadfeather.
Yeah, shout out to Leadfeather and Hunter. That was the guy's name.
Hunter hooked us up.
Super nice guy, very professional. I'm very excited.
So, it's burglars beware. Anybody wants to tamper with any of my boats, beware. Like, Emily will draw down.
Emily's packing. Yeah, I like it because we got a little tactical clip that screws onto the side. So, it's kind of no fuss.
It's like a clip. Nate and I were talking about this a minute ago. It's like a clip that you'd have on a knife. So there's no holster. It just clips onto your belt or onto your pants or whatever. So it's literally the minimum you could have on your person to conceal carry.
Exactly. And I'm a small framed girl. So it actually concealed. I wore it to Thanksgiving dinner. Nobody noticed it on me until I hugged my mother-in-law. And I've worn it several times out and nobody's commented on it. So super exciting.
Before we get to the meat of this week's episode, we did a segment about a month ago where we talked Florida sportsman article titles. So the way this segment works, we've got two sections here for it. First section, Nate, I've got four article titles. I'm going to read them to you, and you're going to tell me which one I made up.
All right.
You ready?
I'm ready.
How Kingfish Got a Bad Rap. That was then, this is now. Kings are back in our hearts and in our kitchens.
Why are
That's the longest title in the history of titles.
I fell asleep halfway through you reading.
Right.
A different flight, finer points of jump and pass shooting for wood ducks. That's number two.
It sounds like a basketball article.
Bull market, catching monster sharks off Florida's most popular beaches. That's number three.
Okay.
Number four, get the drop on winter sheep's head. A better way to do it. Vertical fish with crabs over reefs and rubble.
Oh my gosh. Okay, how many of those are real?
Three of those are real.
Okay, so there's only one fake one.
One fake one.
Let's go with the kingfish one is fake.
How kingfish got a bad rap. That was then. This is now. Kings are back in our hearts and in our kitchens.
Oh my
and I'm holding
goodness
it up.
Gracious.
That's the cover
it's
article.
The cover article. What the heck?
Holy cow.
All right. So we got a lot of good feedback on that segment.
Yeah.
But Emily had an idea that we should do another segment.
So which was the fake one, though?
The fake one was Bull Market, catching monster sharks off Florida's most popular
beach. See, that's realistic because giant bull sharks roam the beaches.
Also, it's a play on Bull Market.
Like, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Hit me up, Florida Sportsman headline writers. Let me just doctor your headlines for a minute.
Well, just let us edit. I mean, edit, people. That's so many words.
Here's the next section we're going to do. I'm going to give you four. Nate, you ready for this?
Okay.
Emily, you can participate in this, too, if you'll put the magazine down.
All right.
I'm going to give you four headlines. One of them I made up. Two of them are from Florida Sportsman. One of them is from Cosmo.
Oh, great.
Okay?
All right.
You have to tell me which is which.
Okay.
All right, here we go. A lot of times we do the subtitle with the title, so these are just the title.
Okay. All right.
Nighttime is the right time.
Oh, good gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Getting down at the beach.
Oh, my gosh.
Better your braid.
Okay.
Okay.
Or number four, not so happy hunting ground.
Oh, my goodness.
AKA Tinder.
Which one is from Cosmo?
What was the second one again?
Getting down at the beach.
Oh, gosh.
That's my guess. That's my guess for the Cosmo article.
The first one was nighttime is the right time,
you said?
That sounds like a Florida Sportsman article. I'll go with the getting down to the beach, too.
Getting down at the beach is in this month's Florida Sportsman.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you kidding me? Oh, my gosh.
So is better your braid, because I saw that one in there.
Well, we're not done picking them.
Oh, my bee.
You just ruined it.
You just ruined the whole segment, yeah?
I Britted it.
Getting down at the beach, subtitle, a case for sinking lines and winter surf fishing.
What?
It's the fly fishing seminar in this month's Florida Sportsman.
Oh, my gosh.
So, which one did I make up?
Nighttime is the right time.
That is the one I made up.
Yes.
Because I always like to make up articles about snook fishing at night.
And so, the Cosmo one, what was the other
two? Not so happy hunting ground, which, interestingly enough, was about apartment hunting.
Oh.
Not Tinder.
Interesting.
So, that was the most awkward Google search in my search history ever.
What did you search? Cosmopolitan.
As we get into the meat of the actual show, the reason you guys actually tuned in and listened today, we've got part two of the guys from Florida Fishing Products.
Yeah, and we're talking about maybe some things outside the outdoors.
Yeah, we asked them some questions beyond, well, I mean, we don't want to steal from the thunder of the show. We asked some questions beyond what do you want for Christmas is from a fishing perspective. We talk about nonprofits. We talk about books we'd like. Mm-hmm. Just some different stuff. It lets you really get to know Ty and Weiler, some of the guys behind Florida Fishing Products, and us a little bit, and even Emily. To an extent.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, seriously. You dragged me onto this podcast kicking
so
and screaming.
We really, this was my favorite segment that we recorded. It's a lot
of
fun.
Oh, it was great.
So
yeah.
Hopefully you guys enjoy it.
Okay, so for this is episode 14, What We Want for Christmas Part 2. We just have a list of questions we're going to go through with Ty and Weiler from Florida Fishing Products and figure out some stuff about each other a little bit. So
Christmas specifics, I think is what I called it.
Christmas Pacifics?
Specifics.
Pacifics, like Pacific Ocean.
All right, specifically, what is one book that you want for Christmas, Nate?
It's a cookbook. It's called Buck Buck Moose by Hank Shaw. And it's all about four-legged wild game cookbook. It's, you know, deer, elk, moose, whatever you got. This guy's a pretty good cook. And I've flipped through it a couple times, and it's legit. It's got some really cool stuff in it. So that's the book I want.
All right, Ty, one book for Christmas.
All right, first, if I was to give a book for Christmas, I would give a Bible to somebody. For anyone out there that whether you're Christian or not, Christian, Catholic, or whatever, I highly recommend reading through the Bible. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal book. But if I was to get a book, because I have multiple Bibles, I would get Redfish by Chico Fernandez. It's a book that I've seen so many times, like over and over again. Hell's Bay actually sells it at most of their events, a lot of the boat shows, and a lot of times Chico will be there and he'll sign it for you. If you don't know who Chico is, you should look him up. He's a phenomenal fly
legend.
Angler. He's a legend in the fishing industry, right up there with Flip Pallet and Stu Apt and all those guys. I've been just wanting to read that book. That's the first thing that came to mind.
Strong.
Strong. All right, Wyler.
It's funny you mentioned all those legends, because the book that I was asking for, I've actually asked for it for a couple years now and still haven't received it. It's a little pricey, but A Passion for Tarpon by Andy Mill. I got to
talk
with him a little bit this weekend.
That's the Bible of
exactly. You know, tarpon. That's
of
my
tarpon
fish.
Fishing.
You know, I'm addicted to the poon, and you know, nothing beats jumping a tarpon and getting a big one on fly. I've heard nothing but great things about the book. I've looked through a lot of them. I've bid on plenty of them in silent auctions and lost them all. So
yeah, it's hard to come by, right?
It's an expensive book. It's hard to come by. Yeah, it's won like a whole bunch of awards. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a legend.
He's a legend.
Andy Mill told me a story one time about how he used to go, or actually George W. Bush Sr. would come knocking on his door when he would stay in the White House and say, "Hey, you want to go shoot for a little bit?" And they go out shooting together.
George Bush did the foreword in that book.
They used to
really
fish together.
He was married to Chris Everett, I think, the tennis player.
Who's that?
I know he like, won a bunch of Olympic medals.
Yeah, he was a famous downhill skier, and he was married to like the sex symbol tennis player in the 80s, Chris Everett.
Really?
So, like, dude's lived a pretty solid life, and now he lives in the Keys and fly fishes for fun.
Yeah, he's one of the most, you know, legendary tarpon anglers on fly in the history of the
He's
universe.
Incredible.
Oh, yeah.
If I had to pick a book, I would pick A Hunter's Fireside Companion by Gene Hill. I know you guys aren't hunters. Well, Wyler's a hunter, but if you like good outdoors writing, he's a columnist, and he was a columnist like in the 40s, 50s, 60s for Field and Stream. It's not only hunting. There's some fishing, but it's probably 3 or 4 to 1
right.
hunting to fishing. But guys don't write like that anymore. Like, he's the gold standard for outdoor writing. And I mean, it's usually fictional stuff, but I mean, it's in every short stories, 2 or 3 pages. It's just a fantastic book. And I feel like every outdoorsman should have it on their bookshelf.
One more time. What's the name?
It's A Hunter's Fireside Companion.
Hunter's Fireside Companion. That sounds like a good book.
It's a really, really good book.
Sounds like it's make you feel really warm when you read it.
It does. In fact, I think I mentioned it once before. You should pour yourself like a thing of scotch, like a little Yeti Lowball of scotch, and sit by the fire with like a bird dog laying at your feet.
Now we're talking.
If you're under 21, a nice cup of hot cocoa.
Absolutely, with some marshmallows.
Yeah. Coffee is one that could work.
So mine is called A Girl's Guide to Hunting and Fishing by Melissa Bank. It sounds like it's about hunting and fishing, but it's really about navigating being a female in the world.
Hunting and fishing
and
for
Barbies.
no Barbies. I think everybody should read it. It's Melissa Bank is a really cool fiction writer, and I love the way she expresses herself. So that's been one of my favorite books since I was a teenager, and it just happens to have hunting and fishing in the title. So next question is, if you could get one non-outdoors thing for Christmas, what would it be, Nate?
I would probably want an Xbox One. I don't play a lot of video games, but I do enjoy every now and then, if I have time. That's most of the problem. I just don't have time. But I do enjoy to sit down and play a little video games. But the other thing about the Xbox is it's Netflix and Hulu, and you can basically watch TV on it. You know, they're way more than just a one-trick gaming system anymore. And they're so versatile. And
What game would you get? Mario Brothers?
I'll go with an outdoors game. There's a game called The Hunter Call of the Wild, and it's like a really realistic hunting game that they've made for Xbox One, and it's legit. That would be the game that I would want to get.
Okay.
Sell him ours?
Yeah, no kidding.
Because our kids are zombies.
If you're good at that game, does it make you a real hunter?
No.
It means you have a good hand. Follow up, Ty.
Oh, I was just going to throw in there with the Xbox One. You get on the internet, you can actually stream just about anything.
Yeah.
On the big screen. I watch football all the time.
Really?
NFL streams Reddit.
Nice.
So it's on Reddit. You can literally
watch
every single game, NCAA, football, anything that's on live, you can get a stream of
it. That's smart. I need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ty, you're up next. One non-outdoor item.
So I was going to say the newest DJI Phantom
drone.
I was gonna say quadcopter, but yeah, drone. But I realized that's really outdoorsy, and I would only use it for outdoor use. So I was thinking iPhone X. After talking about it and seeing it and the capabilities of the camera as well as the face recognition, it's really cool. And I sometimes hate technology, like most of the time. That's why I'm an outdoorsy person,
right?
But then again, owning a fishing company and having to build a brand,
you have to be tethered to it.
You know, I'm reading a book right now. I just finished it actually on the airplane. It's Convictions to Lead by Albert Mohler. And it's like 25 different kind of just points that he says for Christian leaders in particular, but really for any leaders. He's talking about like how he's got a Twitter account, and how he's like, if you're missing out, like if you're not on Twitter, like you're missing out on something big. And I've never been a Twitter person, you know.
Yeah, like you guys are not on Twitter.
Not on Twitter.
Yeah.
Florida Fishing Prize is not on Twitter. I've never been on Twitter.
I don't have a Twitter either.
I don't tweet.
What's Twitter?
I'm not a tweeter.
It's the generation gap, because like my generation sort of was on Twitter, and then these people after me are like, what's a tweet?
Right.
Right. But there's a ton of people on Twitter, apparently. And there's a lot of other social media handles that we aren't on that we probably should be on.
I made us a LinkedIn where I share stuff on LinkedIn all the time.
You have control to the Florida Fishing Products LinkedIn?
I built the Florida Fishing Products LinkedIn.
That scares me.
You don't have a LinkedIn, Ty. I looked.
I have a LinkedIn.
I looked.
William Tyler Nelson. If you knew my real name.
I know. It's Willie Nelson. I know.
OMG.
I'm a big Al Mohler fan.
On the boat again. Can't wait to get so on the boat again.
Yeah.
Life I love is fishing with my friends.
Hey, Tim was with me. We
just
looked
can't
for
wait
you
to
LinkedIn,
get
maybe.
On the boat again.
A Weiler is up.
If y'all can find me on LinkedIn, I'll give you a free hat.
It's pretty tricky.
Actually, Weiler will give you a free hat because he couldn't find me.
Tim couldn't either. I made him an admin on it. We couldn't find you.
You probably got all kind of job offers waiting, and they just can't get to you.
Weiler, you're up next. One non-outdoor thing.
I'm probably going to be using it outdoors, but I really want a golf cart. My neighborhood's very tight-knit. A lot of people have golf carts down in Fort Myers right off McGregor, and everyone drives around, and you know, there's a lot of kids. You know, you see 15-year-olds, 12-year-olds driving their parents' golf carts with fishing rods on it down to whether it's the lake or one of the spillways. And, you know, I want a golf cart.
Golf carts are so much fun, man.
Yeah, it doesn't seem crazy.
They're a blast.
You ever flipped over a golf cart?
No, and I hope I don't ever do that.
We have flipped over a bucket truck.
We do stupid stuff when we're kids, I'll tell you that. I flipped one once, long time ago. But it's okay. I won't flip this one, hopefully.
I forgot about that.
We're going to get you a helmet with your golf cart.
Well, a Florida Fishing Products helmet.
There you go. We don't have any of those. We could put some stickers on one. That's a good idea.
Yeah, buy a hard hat.
What's a good helmet? I know they have ratings for how far you could fall. No, I'm a little taller now than I was as a kid, so I should probably get a better helmet.
Yeah, probably upgrade that. Like, I've never worn a helmet in my life.
No. Really?
No.
I could tell.
All right, Travis, you're up.
All right, so I'm going to stay with the book thing, actually, for my non-outdoors item, and I'm going to pick The Life of Riley by Rick Riley. You guys sports guys? He used to write the last page of Sports Illustrated every issue. And he's really funny. He's really smart. It's always a short. It's similar to the Gene Hill books, just sports related. They're all short stories about really famous athletes. He wrote a sequel to it. It's really good, too. It's called Tiger Meet My Sister, talking about introducing Tiger Woods to his sister to date her. But he's super funny. He's got a good take on stuff. It's an enjoyable read. It's not super heavy, so... That'd be my non-outdoors pick.
I think it's really lame that you picked two books.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No one told me that was a rule.
Leaders are readers.
Thank you.
That is so true. Are you an Andy Stanley guy, too?
No, that was also in Albert Mohler's Fiction's Lead.
My thing is a bathroom remodel.
Oh, I see we didn't put a budget on this.
We did not.
Okay.
So, just putting that out into the universe.
You may get that.
I know. Because we have been Dave Ramseying the heck out of our budget.
That's true.
Okay, next up, what is one conservation group you would want a membership to, Nate?
So mine's not necessarily Florida, but they have a Florida chapter. It's called Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, and they're based in Montana. And their big thing is fighting for public lands and public access to hunting and fishing places. And it's kind of a big fight right now. A lot of people want to kind of take away some public access to some of these public lands so they can, you know, drill for oil or, you know, mine it or whatever. And so these guys are fighting against that, keeping that stuff open for public recreation, not just hunting and fishing, but hiking
and
bird watching and horse riding and all this stuff. So they're a great organization. You can check them out online.
Backwater Hunters and Anglers.
Backcountry. Backcountry Hunters and Anglers.
Cool. I like that. That's awesome.
Okay, Ty. Pass.
I think I'm going to have to go with Ducks Unlimited because I have a CCA and Captains for Clean Water membership. If I was going to go fishing, it'd probably be BTT because I don't have a BTT membership, but I really want to go with Ducks Unlimited because they've supported Florida Fishing Products, and they've actually had a lot of success with doing the, not the live auction, but the silent auction with our right. reels. And I'm interested in getting into hunting. It's something I was just never exposed to when I was younger. All my buddies fished. I had a few that hunted, but just never was given the opportunity. So I think it's a good way to kind of open that door.
That's a strong choice. Hunting,
so. Yeah. And actually, Ducks Unlimited, they have chapters in Florida, and they get a lot of heat in Florida because they don't set aside land specifically in Florida. That's the right. the argument. Although they do. There's some really good projects they've done.
Okay.
But without them setting aside all the land that they do on the Prairie Pothole and the
ducks
northern
migrate
half,
down here,
yeah, the ducks have nowhere to nest, and so it cuts into the population, and we don't end up. So there's a bigger picture that a lot of people don't understand when they look at some of those nonprofits. That's a really good one,
Weiler.
Well, I obviously will probably go with a fishing one. I'm already a CCA member.
You can pick one you're a member
of. Okay, it's yeah. fine. So I'm already a CCA member. I'm already a Captains for Clean Water member. I'm not a Bonefish Tarpon Trust member yet. So a couple weekends ago, we were at the 6th International Science Symposium over in Weston, Florida for the Bonefish Tarpon Trust. They went over their research. It's a big congregation of scientists, anglers, the legends. They raise a bunch of money. And more importantly, they talk about all the research that they've done. It's once every 3 years. And we had a booth. We were one of the session sponsors. And just learning about everything that they're actually doing. They do all the research that all the other organizations use to decide what needs to happen. They say, all right, if we want to protect these bonefish or the tarpon, they do all the research, and that allows whether it's Captains for Clean Water or the CCA to know what legislation they need to kind of advocate for. Bonefish Tarpon Trust are the researchers, the scientists.
They're the linchpin that allows the exactly. other groups to figure out what they really have to go after.
Exactly.
I've never heard of them. That's really cool.
Yeah, and I mean, it was their 20th year, 20th anniversary this past week in the big banquet. It was a celebration. It was awesome. They honored a lot of the founding fathers. You know, every single legend was there. They were mm-hmm. had tarpon panels, and you know, it's bonefish, tarpon, and permit. Work on protecting their habitat. They grow bonefish. I mean, they raise little bonefish
for stocking programs.
You know, they do cool. their tarpon acoustic tagging.
Yeah.
They've got, I think, 1,000 tarpon that have acoustic tags now. Or something, they've been doing it. I mean, that's awesome. They know things about these flats.
And they're taking a scientific approach to all of it. There's no emotion to it.
It's all science-based.
They love
based.
The fishery, but they
Everything
want to know the science.
Based.
It's all about the right. numbers for them.
Science-based, and they collaborate with other companies and organizations, you know, universities. They do a great job, and I wasn't able to get to the booth to join officially as a member. So, you know, tomorrow I'm definitely going to go do that.
That's a strong choice.
Good one.
Strong choice.
I gotta add, I think it's really cool that they work with the Bahamas and other islands in the Caribbean and
all throughout the world. Yeah,
and permit and their tarpon stocks as well. They're
because
really
they're looking at the big picture.
Exactly.
Well, they were the first company. They actually scientifically proved that every single tarpon in the world are all part of the exact same breeding population.
Yep.
The same tarpon world record that was caught off the coast of Africa are the exact same species of tarpon that are here in Florida, Louisiana, Texas, Costa Rica, wherever you go, a tarpon is a tarpon is a tarpon, and they're all the same breeding population, and they proved that. That's awesome.
That's cool. That's cool. Very cool. Mine is actually not a nonprofit, but I feel like it's in the same vein, and that is I'd like to see everyone buy a duck stamp. It's $48. I'm going to make this number up, but it's not far off. 95% of public land in the United States that's set aside for conservation is paid for by waterfowl stamps. All the national wildlife refuges are paid for by waterfowl stamps, which are primarily paid for by waterfowl hunters.
Right.
So it's an astounding number when you look at it. I've got the real numbers written down somewhere because I wrote an article recently about this. There's been a decline in waterfowl hunters, and with that's been a decline in waterfowl stamp sales, which has caused an impact on setting aside wetlands, which doesn't just impact waterfowl. It impacts estuaries. It impacts a whole lot of stuff.
A ton of other bird species.
Yeah, other bird species, the whole ecosystem, it impacts some fisheries. Getting people, I've really taken a passion this year to try to get more people into duck hunting. That's why I was talking to you about duck hunting. So I really want to get more people involved in the sport because I feel like some guys will say you don't want to do that because there's too many people duck hunting. It's not true. We're actually losing hunters, and I just feel like if more of us could get out there and understand it and enjoy it and become part of it, we're all contributing to something that's going way bigger than ourselves.
Right. And even if you don't hunt but you enjoy the outdoors in some capacity, whether it be fishing or hiking or camping or whatever, you know, part of the reason you are able to do that on some of these public lands is because people bought duck stamps and because people bought hunting licenses and because people have, you know, hunters and fishermen have contributed to the government funds that help support these things. So even if you don't go buy a duck stamp, you can buy them at your post office or you can go online and buy them. It's just a great conservation tool that we have in this country.
Yep. So that's mine. Nothing wrong with any of the other. I'm members of many of the nonprofits we talked about too, and it's a great Christmas gift, right?
Absolutely.
If you want to be altruistic about it, get somebody to buy you a membership to something you're not a member of, and you're giving money back and helping conservation.
That's what it's all about. Buy a mang shirt. You know, you're getting a mangrove planted.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So my nonprofit group is the National Brittany Rescue and Adoption Network. We have two Brittany's in our home. They're dogs, if you don't know what they are. We have an almost 15-year-old senior and a little hellion named Finley, who's 4. And they're just an amazing breed. If you're not familiar with it, they're so loving. They're amazing hunters. They're bird dogs. We can't hunt ours because of age and allergies, but there's a group of people online specifically that have developed InBrand, the National Brittany Rescue and Adoption Network, and they also have the InBrand Canine Railroad, which is a really cool initiative where they have people who are willing to transport these dogs all across the United States and Canada to get them to loving homes. So anytime they have Google Alerts set up, so anytime like a Brittany's listed on Craigslist or somewhere in a shelter, the InBrand people are on it right away, and they're getting that dog, they're rehabilitating the dog, and then they're using the Canine Railroad to transport it to an approved home. So I just think that's really cool.
The National Brittany Rescue, which you mentioned here, I know the lab rescue associations, they're okay with hunting the dogs.
Yeah, they in fact...
So they encourage it. So this is not some group that's out there just going to be like a bunch of PETA folks that don't want you to hunt the dogs. They want you to just snuggle them on the couch. They're okay with the dogs being used for what they were bred for.
A lot of them have applications. So if you're going to foster or adopt a Brittany, they say you have to have a fenced in yard. It's better if you hunt them. You want to have trails local to your home because they're such outdoorsy animals. So
man, you guys are wild. You hunt dogs.
Wild dogs.
For us, ignorant people out here, I believe they mean they like to take their dogs hunting.
Yeah. We do not hunt dogs.
Yeah. Good clarifying.
Our dogs hunt everything. Good call. If money were no object, what would you get for Christmas? So we have some examples here. A Hell's Bay skiff, a gold-plated custom FFP reel, a helicopter to get to the fish quicker. Like if you had a $10 million budget for one item, what would it be? Nate.
A Pathfinder 2500 hybrid with a half tower, dual controls, Yamaha 4-stroke 300, two 10-foot power pole blades with a power pole vision set up across the whole boat, 11-inch Lowrance HDS, and a motor guide XI5 36-volt.
Was that off the cuff?
That was completely, totally
that's
off
barely 150K.
Yeah. Like, that's what you're coming at me with.
But I have a $10 million budget. I wouldn't buy a thing. I'd buy land. So, you know.
Well, then
like an island?
You buy land.
I'd buy the entirety of Little Gaspar Island, probably.
I don't think you could do it for 10.
You couldn't do that for 10 million.
You could do the southern tip.
Okay. I'd tear down that ugly monstrosity at the end of it right now.
Like half-built one that's always been there for like the history of the universe.
Yeah.
So, I'd have a really nice Pathfinder in half of an island.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay, Ty.
I was kind of thinking the island idea is a great idea because you really don't need anything else to think of.
And you can pick the same thing.
Right, right. Well, I'm definitely going to go with a boat. multiple boats. So I was thinking a 66-foot open bridge Viking yacht with an 18-foot Waterman tender.
Very nice.
I have a micro power pole on it, honestly, to keep the weight down a little bit. I don't know if you guys have been on a Waterman.
I have.
Floating 4 inches of water. Whoa. Like legit, maybe 4.5. I guess depends how you weigh it down. But they flow extremely shallow. I've been in them tarpon fishing off the beaches. I've been floating for tails in Mosquito Lagoon. I've been fishing for them, fishing bonefish in the Keys and permit in the Keys and tarpon in the Keys as well. They do a little bit of everything. They're small skiff, but they're awesome. There's phenomenal.
And you just hang that on your Viking.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. It'd be a yacht tender. You'd go on the front of it.
Just for when he needed to go fishing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. But I thought, like, if I have a private island, I could just keep the Ginu, honestly, and just go out from there. There's a little island as you're going over the 7 mile bridge.
Yep.
From that island, within 1 mile, you have tarpon, you have lobster, you have snapper, you have grouper, you have permit, you have bonefish.
You can do it out of the Ginu and...
You can do it all at the Gino. I don't even That's solid. Boats.
And then you could don't go as far as you want on yeah. half a gallon of gas.
That's right. That's right.
Nice.
All right, Wyler.
Well, I was getting kind of creative when I saw this question. What I was thinking is, you know, I'm going to spend $1 million and get someone to design something that's never been built before. So I want some type of, I want a vehicle, but the vehicle of vehicles. Where, you know, it floats in 5 inches of water.
It's amphibious?
Yeah, you know, it goes from 5 inches all of water terrain. Offshore in 5 foot seas. I want it to be able to just, you know, use the boat ramp as the driveway and just drive up onto shore.
Yep. Yes, and then, no more loading, unloading.
No, and then, you know, I can just take it and go to my next little fishing spot. Go
straight 30, to dinner go afterwards.
Miles offshore if you want to.
I mean, do whatever.
You'd be able to fly to the next spot.
Drive, fly, 5 inches of water, 5 foot seas, you know.
Can you pull it?
Well, if you're going to go in 5 inches of water, you can't be loud. Of course you're going to pull it.
You can't run a motor. I know that much. 5 inches.
But, I mean, you know, if we wanted to, we'd maybe make, like, a little hovercraft as well. I don't know. If I got $10 million to spend.
You know, a kayak on top of it and drive it where you go and then kayak around?
I don't know. Maybe, you know, get some crazy motors that were, like, dead quiet and, you know, lift it off the ground enough where it just doesn't even, you can go in no water.
That's what you should do, is just invent magnets. A silent motor magnets. And then everyone will be remotoring their boats.
Then you'd be a bajillionaire.
Just get a hovercraft, you know, it's 5 foot seas, go 10 feet above the water.
There you go.
Not even on the water and you're fishing. Dead quiet.
I like it.
All right, Thompson.
I'm buying rice fields in Arkansas. So I'm buying a rice farm.
Okay. Rice farm?
I'm buying a rice farm.
Is there a lot of water on the rice farm?
Well, yeah, like you control the water levels. They'll usually have levees and stuff so you can flood and unflood the fields.
That's what they do a lot of.
That sounds a lot like the sugar fields south of Lake Okeechobee.
It's exactly what it's like, the levels. But it's in the middle of the United States and it doesn't affect the fishery or the estuary.
It's right in the duck migratory path.
I gotcha.
Like, all right, mine was not like a super big dream. All I wanted was the power pole vision, which Nate already mentioned.
My wife has a $10 million budget, and she picked the power pole vision.
And the power pole charge.
$2,500.
Yeah,
I like it.
No, but it's so smart. Like, it's the smartest technology. I think it was a gap that we didn't even know, like, we needed filled.
Oh, it's,
you haven't seen it. Oh, my gosh. It's so cool.
You want to pull it up?
Yeah, hang on.
So, basically,
it just runs all your electronics.
From an iPad, or from an Android, I think.
The power pole?
Vision.
It'll run, vision. But it will run your pumps. It will run your poles. It will run your...
So it's a touch screen that actually installs.
Oh, so it's not an actual power pole. It's by power pole.
But it controls... Product. It's the brain of your boat. So it connects to your power poles. It connects to your batteries.
No more switches.
All your pumps. It's got an iPhone app. So you can... Well, I think it was only Android up to this point, maybe. Right. But they're developing the iPhone app. And then if you get...
And then they have a thing called charge.
Yeah,
charge. That will actually load balance your batteries.
Yeah, it smart balances. So this is when your batteries is running low, you can help it prioritize, like, oh, I need batteries to start my motor, so save me some of that. Or, like,
you can set thresholds.
That. I don't know, man. Having kids on a boat and having a husband who goes off by himself on a boat, this kind of technology makes me feel better about...
Because you could just drive me home from wherever you're sitting, like in home.
Yeah.
Take over the boat and just... It's time for you to leave now.
I'll go up. He's, whoa.
Somebody'd be hacked in and I'd be leaving.
Oh my gosh.
She'll be like, what's happening right now?
11:59. It's about to shut off. I'm about to go home. Reel in the lines. Oh, here we go. Oh man. There goes the day.
Anyway.
Right at the stroke of 12.
Not getting a lot of rebooks from these guys.
Powerful, if you're listening, we want this technology. We want to try it out. We want to review it. Like, I'm so in on this. I think it's really smart.
I like it. I remember being in Blind Pass about a year and a half ago over summer. I was like leaving that day to go back to Orlando, but I went fishing in the morning. I'm by myself, anchored up, and I pull the anchor first, idiot. Then I try to start the engine. Dead. Battery's dead. So I'm like in the middle of the freaking pass. And so I start throwing the anchor, and I'm bringing it towards the dock, which, like, I don't know if you've been to Blind Pass, but it's a very narrow pass there between Captiva.
And water will blow out of there.
It cranks through there, but luckily it's not, like, a huge inlet, so I'm able to get to a dock pretty easily, and I swap out batteries, and I get it cranked up, so I was good to go, but it definitely would have been really helpful to have the power.
Been there, done that.
So,
yeah.
I'm just glad the other
I've pull cranked the 150 before.
Oh,
and
yeah, I've had buddies do that.
Oh, there you go.
No thanks.
Take off your belt and do it?
No. Most of them come with one that's like in your dive, your, what do they call it?
I've had to do it with an actual belt before.
Yeah. Oh, my
gosh. Oh, no thanks.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Did it work?
Doing it with the actual cord you're supposed to do it with was not fun.
No.
I was on my buddy's boat, and I think he had like an old Nissan, like an old Nissan.
If you could get a trip for Christmas anywhere, this is like an outdoors destination you'd want to check off your bucket list.
Probably go to Montana because, I mean.
I'm calling PETA.
The hunting.
They'll find us.
But the hunting out there, elk and mule deer and whitetails and all the fishing, the.
Yellowstone
River, all the rivers and the trout and the fly fishing. I mean, and just the country's beautiful. I would go to Montana.
And it's different from what we have.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've seen enough Palmetto Flats and swamps and mangrove swamps. And I mean, I haven't seen it. I'm not over it. Like, it's not old, but, you know.
It's something different.
I like a change. I like mountains. So, I'm into Montana.
Well, this is a really tough one, honestly. I really want to do, like, a lot of trips, obviously.
Right.
I got like so many destinations I'm thinking of, but I guess first I think I'd want to go to the Yucatan Peninsula and do try and get a slam there, bonefish, tarpon, and permit. One of my good friends who filmed with me at Hell's Bay, Trapper Rudd, was known to be the Yucatan man. He would actually charter trips down there. He'd get groups of people to go down and basically pay for his whole trip for free. And I think he had over 100 permit on fly in the Yucatan, which is like a pretty significant number. I don't know a lot of guys that have 100 permit on fly or 100 permit at all.
Right.
On anything. But yeah, Trapper passed away like a year and a half ago. And so for me, it's like
like a sentimental point to it.
Yeah, to go. I really wanted to go with him. We talked about the trip multiple times. So the fact that I wasn't able to go with him, now I'm like really determined to go and just enjoy that experience for him. So that's definitely got to be my first trip for this Christmas.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, this has been on my bucket list for my dream vacation my entire life. I want to go to Alaska, and I want to fly fish for salmon in Bristol Bay. Mm. I know that the salmon fisheries up there have been on decline for decades, and there's a lot of advocacy to keep them healthy, and I want to make sure that this is been on my bucket list since I was probably 8, and I want to make sure that I can do it before it's no longer there.
Right.
Hear from a lot of people that, you know, it keeps declining each year, and I'm worried that if I don't do it soon, I might never be able to experience it. I want to camp right there on the side of the river, and one of those nights, you know, catch a salmon and cook it right on the campfire right then and there. You know,
it's the only way you can really get fresh salmon.
I mean, it doesn't get much fresher than that.
Right. I would pick, waterfowl in the Aleutian Islands of Alaska.
Oh, yeah. So like sea ducks.
Yeah, like king eiders and harlequins. And that's like the only place, emperor geese is the only place in the world you can kill those particular species. Hmm. So, I mean, you can't go anywhere else and get them.
Yeah.
It's just right there, the Bering Strait. So it's really harsh conditions. But if I had the money to go on one trip, that's the trip I'd take. So
are they protected the other areas?
No, they're just not in a lot of the other areas.
Oh, gotcha.
They don't live in those areas.
And this is the one spot where they kind of all intersect, and you can hunt them.
You get a nice mixed bag in one spot.
Yeah, yeah. And they're all trophies. They're all gorgeous. Yeah. Like, these are all...
Those are the ones that you're going to mount.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Every one of them. Every one of them.
So mine was stolen by Nate, obviously. But,
good job, Nate.
I want to go to Livingston, Montana, which is just this really cool little town. It's really old, and it's just beautiful.
The gateway to Yellowstone.
Yeah, we have dreamed about going here our entire relationship. I want to go fly fishing. I want Travis to teach me how to fly fish there, and I want to see Yellowstone. I didn't realize I was a park person until we took a trip to Maine and we saw Acadia, and that was like the most probably spiritual experience I've ever had. So, Livingston is definitely on my list. Nate, if you could swap places with one other outdoorsman, who would it be and why?
Since I have first pick, I'm going to make some people mad real quick here and go with Flip Pallet. He's the ultimate Florida cracker.
Dang, man.
Yeah.
He's the ultimate Florida cracker. You know, airboat riding, you know, he hunts with a recurve bow, and, you know, he's out there catching fish.
Was anybody going to pick anybody different than Flip Pallet?
Nah.
I was.
Nah.
Okay. Well, hold on. We're going to jump on your pick then. Okay. Because I don't have another choice.
Okay. Well, let's combine the picks.
Yeah. Ty, you can jump in here too.
I mean, Flip Powell was like one of the pioneers of flats fishing in the Everglades. Absolutely. I mean, there's a few different guys, but really he was like one of the guys that
How about
really
flats fishing in general?
Revolutionized.
Right.
The Everglades. I mean, just
it's like he
everywhere.
Keeps pushing it. And even today, like the guy's still out there getting after it.
Oh yeah.
He still isn't he a turkey hunting guide still?
He does turkey hunts. He's frequently on the St. John's River, that area, with his airboat, mm-hmm. and he'll go frog gigging or mm-hmm. hog hunting or deer hunting or whatever. He's
the ultimate Florida cracker.
If he walked into a room of 22-year-old outdoorsmen, it would be like, I don't know, Justin Bieber walking into a party of like 14-year-old girls or something. Am I right?
Like, terrible analogy.
I thought that was like a great analogy.
No, I mean, everybody would just lose their mind. Pretty because truthful. it's Flip. I've met him a couple of times. I know you've met him before. You've met. He's a very down-to-earth guy. He just is who he is. I'd want to be Flip Pallet at like 24, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, then that's just a different Florida.
Imagine.
Exactly.
That's a different Florida.
So you get the Florida. But I want to know what he knows
the
now.
The Florida that made him who he is today.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did y'all know he was a banker?
I did know that.
He was a banker before he became an outdoors legend.
Yeah, he sold life insurance, didn't he? I'm pretty sure he did.
You got a bright future, Wyler.
So everyone picked Flip Pallet except Wyler.
So, Wyler, who you got?
I was going to say Lefty Cray, you know.
Classic legend, man. That's
I grew up using his fly rods. My grandfather gave me one of his books. I think it was Fly Fishing Saltwater. You know, he's done so much, just like, you know, Flip has, you know, with TFO, Temple Fork Outfitters, such a legendary fly fishing company. He's got his own signature series fly rod. I've used those. They're great. But just seeing everything he's done, being a fly tire, the Lefty's Deceiver is one of the most legendary flies, whether it's saltwater, freshwater, and it works. It doesn't matter who you are, what you're fishing for, or how you want to fish. I mean, it catches everything. And he's just a pioneer of fly fishing and just an outdoorsman.
For him, fly fishing is just an extension of who he is.
I mean,
there is no effort in it or anything. He taught my daughter, actually, at an outdoor show. He taught my daughter how to fly fish at one of the little casting booths. And I had been working her. She was 4 or 5. And he had her within a moment. Like, he changed the angle of her elbow. And as she was flinging this little short stick, putting it out. I mean, it was awesome, dude. He's another good guy.
Yeah.
So mine's kind of personal. So I came from a fishing family. My grandfather on my mom's side was a shrimp boat captain at Apalachicola and a fishing guide in Port St. Joe. My other grandparents grew up Boca fishing their entire lives. And so my dad grew up fishing down there as well. So I think one of those roles, I would love to go live life as just for a day as my grandpa, as a fishing guide up there at Port St. Joe or a shrimp boat captain. I can't even imagine doing that job without the technology that we have today, and doing it safely and having a whole crew of people you're responsible for. And then seeing Charlotte Harbor and Boca Grande as it was 50 years ago, again, without having the technology on your boat, without having an iPhone in your hand to navigate through the backwaters. I just think that would be so cool to go back and live in those times for just a minute and kind of see Florida for what they saw it as.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
That's a great pick.
I'm into that.
One last more. Question. All right, Nate, you get one fish species for Christmas. It's all you can catch next year, but you can catch it consistently and easily.
There's only one right answer to this question, and it's snook. I could catch snook every day of my life and never get tired of it.
Here's the problem with the question. It says you can catch it consistently and easily, and so
I do that already anyway, but
well, if there's no challenge to it, do you still love it? That's my thing.
Yes. I mean, I'll sit here. I'll catch 100 snook in a day, and I'll be just as excited on my first fish as it will be my 100th fish. Because
that's true.
I've
witnessed that.
Because they're just like, they fight so good, and they're so much fun to catch, and they just, the strike, especially like topwaters, or if they hit, you know, if a shrimp's popping, they pop in at shrimp. It's so much fun to watch them eat and, you know, catch those guys. You know, I, you know, like we were talking about, I'm not a big snook eater. You know, I don't eat a lot of snook, but just catching them, I could catch snook the rest of my life and be perfectly happy.
All right, Ty.
Well, I'm probably going to have to go with bonefish since he stole my number one choice.
You can pick the same one if you want.
I'm going to shy away from snook just because really you can't easily sight cast snook all year round. It's just maybe in heaven you can. I don't know. But for there's a very, I feel like, a narrow window, a few months of the year we can really sight fish for snook well, in my opinion. And I'm a huge, huge sight fisherman. And when it comes to bonefish are like strictly sight fishing. You can sight fish them all year round. And they are extremely, extremely hard fighting fish, pound for pound, one of the best fighting fish I've ever caught. They're extremely smart. I had a bonefish, my first one I ever hooked and caught in Bimini. I mean, it went straight towards a mangrove root, took a 90 degree turn right at it. It knew what it was doing for sure. And they're just so cool. I mean, they're so fast. It's wild. It's really
like you can't even equate them to a redfish or something. Like, and that's not to put any shame on a redfish. They're just
peeling off.
Have you caught one yet on your Osprey?
Not yeah, yet. He did. He caught one in the Keys with me.
That's right.
That's awesome, man. Come on, buddy.
You don't remember that?
It was a smaller one, so I don't.
I bet that drag with a bonefish on it would just be.
That was a smaller one, and it was still screaming.
Oh yeah, yeah,
I mean, remember this actually because Wyler was like really talking up my sight fishing game to Wes Thompson, the guide we were at the time shooting a guide story with.
Yeah.
And so like he was like, oh yeah, Ty's like one of the best sight fishermen like I know. I'm like, I mean, this is a recipe for disaster.
Right. Because now you've set expectations and
it was a good trip. He caught his
I get on the bow and Wes he was going for permit.
I was trying to get a bonefish because I've never caught a bonefish. He was trying to get a permit because he's never caught a permit, and he caught a bonefish and I caught a permit. So
didn't work out his plan, but
we had a great trip. We had a great trip.
Okay, Wyler, what's your one fish?
Well, you were talking earlier about, you know, if you're catching a fish the whole time and it's really easy, wouldn't that kind of take away the fun? Because I was going to say a tarpon, because that is by far my favorite fish to chase. But I feel like one of the reasons I like it so much is because, you know, it's kind of the pursuit of the elusive.
They're
hard to catch.
Even if you hook them, they're hard to catch.
That's how I feel about redfish. Those are hard for me to catch.
Ty said bonefish. I've never caught a bonefish, so I don't want to spend a whole year catching them because I still love tarpon. I was going to pick that, but that kind of pushed me away. I've never caught a rooster fish, and I would love to catch a rooster fish. Look cool. They got some crazy fins. I heard they're super aggressive, you know, catching them on...
Like a monster jack.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and you can sight fish them, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've seen some pictures of buddies down in, like, Costa Rica sight fishing them on, like, sandbars where, you know, their little fans are sicking out of the water. I think that would be awesome. A fish like that would be like your snook where you never get tired of them.
Right.
If I could catch those all day... that'd be a blast.
Have you seen the Baja trips, like where they'll drive the Jeep down the beach?
Oh, yeah.
And they'll sight fish them off the beach. Like, that's like the ultimate, is to catch one from shore.
Right, right.
Really?
Yeah, so they'll like run up and down the beach and all these Jeeps outfitted, and you're basically driving a Jeep.
Sight fishing from
the Jeep. You see the rooster fish, and then you get out at that point and cast for them and see if you can catch one from the beach.
And they're like in the surf, basically.
Yeah, they're just off the first trench is what we'd call it on our coast, but I don't know how it is there. But yeah, man, that'd be bad to the mom.
That'd be a cool year.
All right, yeah. So snook and rooster fish were both on my list. Tarpon was on my list too, but I'm going to go a different angle. If I'm going to get to catch it, as many as I want, and it's the only fish I can catch for a year, I'm going to give up a year and catch triple tail.
Oh, jeez. That's
fill up the freezer.
Now you're thinking.
Let's put some logic behind this, because it's hard to beat as far as...
Table fare.
I don't catch a lot.
Sure.
Like, it's not a frequent fish that I come across, because I'm way more backcountry.
Right, right.
So we catch them, but we catch them this time of year, honestly. You know, catching 3 or 4 or 5 in a day is a really good day.
Right.
So how cool would it be if you could go out and just slay them? Like, have a... 30 fish a day. That'd be awesome, right?
Because
they're fun to catch.
So you're always sight fishing.
They jump, they fight good.
Every day you go out, there's like 6 of them around every buoy you come to.
Yeah, that would just be epic,
and you
right?
You just flip a shrimp in there and bam, you're on. That would be great.
Yeah. Throw the fly if you see. They're stupid. Yeah, yeah. Those are silly fish.
In this stupid scenario, right, you could keep making it harder on yourself. So right. you could up to a fly, you could up to.
You could hand line them if you wanted to one day.
Hey. Honestly, fly, I mean, those fish are so stupid.
They'll take a fly sometimes before they'll take a live bait.
100%. Yeah. I mean, we see them sitting there, and me and my buddies, we just flip a fly. I mean, they eat it every time. If you put a lure next to them,
right, and
that's what it is.
Present,
you know,
it right.
Have that lure or fly or even bait come from up current down at them, and they'll sit there and they'll eat it every time.
I also don't want a bunch of little bumper sticker triple tail. I want like some.
You want 15? You know,
yeah, like nice, I don't. Yes, you could probably catch a bunch of the little ones. I want some meat to them.
Well, so. It doesn't say that you're going to get the big ones every time for the year.
That's true. Okay.
Well, I'm going to put a size limit on my fish because it matters.
You're going to pick the tuna, right? Full no. year sushi.
I am also super practical, and I really love fried mangrove snapper. So that is nice. What I want. But I want them to be like the 15-inch fatties that you catch. Yes. And you're just like, yes, I can't believe I caught one that big. Like, those are super exciting to me.
Yeah, you think you got a redfish or a snook or something on it. It's a mangrove snapper. That's mangrove. A good fish.
That's a good fish.
I know. It's so lame, though, but I'm like, no, they're just really lame. Good to eat. There's and if you
no
have, like,
shame in that game.
That's probably my favorite fish to eat.
There's a magic honestly. Formula, right? So you get the fried fish, the baked beans, the coleslaw.
Cheese grits.
Cheese grits. Whoa. That's freaking breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Like, I can eat that all day, every day. So I'm in on that.
I think that's
You're
funny.
Making me hungry.
Weiler loves mangrove snapper. And I'm the same way. When I'm in shore and I catch snapper, I'm thinking lunch.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. But
literally, the reason she talks about struggling with redfish is because when I take her and my daughter fishing, they very quickly turn away from sport fishing and want to go catch mangrove snapper. I mean, and smart I don't blame them because they bite mm-hmm. all the time. I mean, and they're fun to catch. Yeah. I mean, they are a fun little fish.
Now, do you cook them up, Emily?
No. So the men cook when we go fishing.
Okay.
The men fry the fish. I'll do like the sides.
Do you always fry your fish?
No. No, I cook them all different
ways.
Oh,
my God. One of our favorite things is if you get a red that's keeper and we keep it. A lot of times we don't keep our redfish.
That's right, true. Right.
I always try.
Because we love them so much. Yeah, we release them. But sometimes we get hungry for them. But baking
this
that,
recipe in particular.
Baking it with a jar of salsa. Just pour a jar of salsa over it.
Mango pineapple salsa.
And like seal it up in chutney. Some foil and like put nice. It in the oven.
You scale him, yeah. cut the head off, and stuff him with that salsa, and then bake him.
I like them. I like them on the half shell too.
It's really good.
Like that redfish magic stuff you get at Publix or whatever, that seasoning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you just like that. You just like coat the you get that you fillet him and you put the fillet shell down on the grill, and you coat it with that seasoning and you just let it cook. You don't flip it. You let it cook, and it all of a sudden gets all really white and flaky, and it's...
You can see that second when it changes. Mm-hmm. The reason we keep redfish is only to do that recipe.
Yeah.
So we do about 3 or 4 a year like that.
Yeah, they're just so fun to catch, and they're so pretty. Yeah. I have a really hard
she
time...
She gets sad keeping them.
...eating them. I do.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
We're too good of friends.
Exactly. Yep.
There you go.
For a guide, I'd much rather catch that fish again than I would eat it.
Right.
It's worth
right.
way more to me swimming around than it mm-hmm. is on a table.
Yeah.
So... There's plenty of other fish, flounder, mangrove snapper,
right.
trout.
There's a lot better eating fish. And redfish tastes great.
Well, and honestly, if you want to fill your freezer up, don't do it inshore.
Yeah.
Go book an offshore charter. I turn clients away for that. If they're like, oh, let's go fill up the cooler, I'm not the guy for you.
Yeah.
Like, let's.
Right. I mean, if you want to fill up the cooler, fill it up with snapper.
Yeah, I just.
I could do trout.
You know, or trout.
Even that, though, like, that fishery's gotten so much better. I'd rather catch 25-inch trout all day because they fight good. That's right. a fun fish to catch yeah. than I would
awesome top water
load buddy. You up with 15-inch trout to take home and eat. Right. And you're going to freeze them, and they're going to get mushy because they get old.
Right, yeah. exactly.
All right, Florida Fishing Products, Ty Nelson and Weiler Gins, thank you so much for sitting with us.
Thank you for having
Christmas
us.
Christmas episodes. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun.
It was awesome.
Tell us where we can find you guys online.
So you can find us on our website, www.floridafishingproducts.com. You can find us on Instagram at Florida_fishing_products. And you can find us on Facebook at Florida Fishing Products. And soon you're going to find us on Twitter.
We're on LinkedIn, too.
Florida Fishing Products.
What about you guys' personal accounts? What are your...
My personal Instagram is TyNelsonSW. On Facebook, I just go by Ty Nelson.
And I'm just Weiler Gins. Pretty simple. WYLERGINS.
At Weiler Gins on yeah. Instagram.
You're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. The podcast is the brainchild of Travis Thompson and Nathan Henderson. All production and editing is done by Emily Thompson. Make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on social media at Cast and Blast FL.